You're listening to a message from Pastor Jack Holt at The River.
I'm going to make a statement here that I think will really minister to you, and that is you can't lose out when you praise God. In other words, whatever you're struggling with right now, you can't lose out if you praise God. And I'm going to be talking about the importance of praise today in the service. It's a very special message to my heart, and it's one I believe the American church needs. And that is, we need to learn how to praise God. Amen? One of the things about praise is it is an action. You can't praise God without an action. Amen? You got to either clap your hands, lift your hands, dance, shout to the Lord. There has to be an action with it. But with it, it strengthens your faith in a way where you don't lose out on your blessing. Amen? When the going gets tough, you start praising God. And when you start praising God, your faith gets great. It's like Abraham. It says this. It says that he grew strong in his faith, giving glory to God. In other words, he was praising God after God had given him that promise. And rather than his faith getting weak, it got strong. Amen? Now, I'm going to minister to you a set of verses in the book of Isaiah in chapter 61. And it's a set of verses that talk about someone who's in that down place. Ever been in that real dark hole where it seems like there's hardly any light coming out? It seems like it's hopeless. This is how God instructs them how to come out of that depressed place, how to come out that place where it seems like it's not working. And what's beautiful about these verses is afterwards, he gives you promises that are connected to the praiser. So if you're a praiser, these promises are for you. So if you would look up on the screen, this is in Isaiah 61, verse 3. It says this: to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of the righteous, planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Now, circle, if you would, the idea of garments there. He says, I want you to put on a garment of praise. In the Hebrew, there are several different words for garment. This one is talking about a winter garment. So he's talking about people who are really, really down. How many have been really, really down? Where it seemed like your faith isn't working, seems like your miracle's a long ways off, it seems like maybe it's not going to work. In that place, he says, I want you to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Let me say it to you this way. Psalm 73, verse 17 says this. It says, when I went into the tabernacle of God, I understood the end of my enemy. Now, what he's talking about there is when I went into church and began to worship God, all of a sudden, I had the proper perspective of my problems that I'm facing. In other words, instead of having a perspective that I'm going to lose, I saw that I'm going to win, that everything's under my feet. That's what it talks about. And some of us, when we get into that dark place, we need praise so that we can begin to get the right perspective, that all things are still working together for the good for those that love God. And you're still the head and not the tail. You're still above. Come on, praise God. You got to get the right perspective. But it's easy to get into that place. And I want to say this. When you're there, what you do is you usually have what I call a pity party. But the only people that come to your party are entities, demons, lying spirits, unclean spirits, spirits of unbelief. That's the only thing that you're going to get when you get into that mode of self-pity. What you need to do is say, Lord, I'm going to trust your word. I'm going to trust what you said, and I'm going to praise you for the increase. I'm going to praise you for the healing. I'm going to praise you for the breakthrough. I'm going to praise you for it. Hallelujah. There's power in that. Now, I want you to look in the same chapter, and I'm going to show you the blessings now for the praiser. Are you ready? They shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall rise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. I want to say this because it doesn't matter what city you're in. If believers are in that city, we can rebuild the city. Did you hear what I said? It doesn't matter what city you're in. If the believers are in the city, they can rebuild the city and they can destroy those generations of unbelief, those generations of immorality, the generations of injustice. We can change that. So that's part of the promise. Then he goes on and says this, strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dresser. This is not a negative thing. It's a positive thing. In other words, you're going to build a hired help to help you with your home. How many would like a gardener to come by and help you with your yard? How many would like someone to come in your house and put a fresh paint on the inside of it? How many would like to be able to hire someone to fix your driveway and get the colors just the way that they were before when you first bought it? Say amen. These are the blessings that are associated with the praiser. Now let's go on. Watch this next part. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. The word priest in the Hebrew is the word for princes. Now, some people don't know this, but when God took Israel into the promised land, he says in Exodus that he wanted them to be a kingdom of princes. In other words, he wanted them to be princes over their peers. He didn't want a kingdom just of civilians, but a kingdom of rulers. And that's what that word is suggesting here. And God wants you to understand that the praiser is destined to be in royalty. He's destined to walk as a king walks. He's destined to be blessed coming and going. He's destined to be able to make a decree as a king. That's you. Amen. Amen. And then notice the next part. He says, and you shall call the servants of God, and you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. Eat means you'll partake of it. How many know the Bible says the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous? It's not just, a lot of people say, well, you know, only the wicked get all the goodies. No. God wants us to get the goodies. Amen? And so it says that we're going to eat of the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory we shall boast. And everybody said amen and amen. He wants you to have the nice car they had. He wants you to have the nice house they had. He wants you to have the nice pool they had. He wants you to have the nice plane that they have. Come on, church. Give God praise. This is good. But these are promises connected with people that develop a praise life. Instead of letting the world make them negative, and you know the way it is watching television, whether it's CNN or Fox, it's always negative of what's going on. And I understand news is news, but we are Christians, and we are to have faith that makes a difference in our culture. Amen? We're to be positive and be praising God for it. Now, I don't know if you can handle this next promise. Can you handle the next promise? This is one of my favorite promises. Now watch this. Watch the next verse. He says this. Instead of shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of confusion, you shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in the land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. It's the double blessing. Come on, God will give you double for your trouble. You got a little piece of property, he wants to give you double. Come on. You got a business that's only this big, he wants to give you double. He wants to double it. He wants to give you a double for your trouble. This is the same blessing that Job had. Remember, he was the greatest man in the East, which means he was highly significant at that point. But it said afterwards that God gave him double the wealth. Now, we usually stop there. God doesn't just give you double material things. He gives you a double anointing, like with Elisha, so that you can handle the increase that God gives you. In other words, he doesn't want to just give you double. He wants you to have the character and the anointing that can handle more than enough, that can handle double. Hallelujah. That's why Job, his children, the second group of children he has, were renowned in the land because of their character. Because Job was given not just material things, he was given a double blessing of character. Oh, glory to God. So that he can handle the blessing. Hallelujah. How many want to get on the praise team now? I want to get on the praise team. I want to be the praiser. These promises are connected to that. That when that spirit of heaviness is on you, at that point, what you need to do is begin to praise God with all your heart. Begin to thank God for what he's given us. Lord, thank you for the blessings. Thank you for the promises. Thank you that you're no respecter of persons. Thank you, Lord, that victory is in the praise. Victory is hidden in the praise. Did you know that when Jesus comes back, it's going to be a praise service? The Bible says Jesus himself will shout. What kind of shout is that? It's a shout of victory. Then the trumpet blows. Then those who are dead will be resurrected with immortal bodies. And I just see us on the way up. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Whew, that's good. That's good stuff. Now, I'm going to show you something that corporate praise is essential if you're going to be a praiser. If you're going to be in the praise team and you're going to praise God to keep that spirit of heaviness away, you're going to need something very, very important in your faith right now. You're going to have to grab hold of the importance of corporate praise. Say corporate praise. Now, in the American church, we have become lazy. In many churches, it's, well, I don't go to church, but I watch it online. That's not corporate praise. I said it's not corporate. Nothing wrong with online. If you're watching me online here, praise the Lord. But it's not to keep you out of church. It's so when you're sick or whatever, can't get to church, it's for you. But corporate praise is different than you just praising God by yourself at home watching somebody on YouTube. Amen? Amen? Now let me show you the verse. Psalms 27, verse 5. Listen to what it says. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. Now remember, secret place in Psalms 91 is the place where arrows are shot, thousands of arrows are shot, but they don't hit you. Yes. It's the place where no evil will befall thee or plague come nigh thy dwelling. That's the secret place where God protects you. And he goes on and he says this, in the secret place of the tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon the rock. Now watch this. And now my head shall be lifted up. He's going to lift you up. Above my enemies. In other words, you're going to be able to start looking down instead of looking up at your problem. All around me, therefore, I will offer what? Sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle for us, the church. And I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Man, do you see the power of this? This is talking about corporate praise, where we get together and praise together. Thank God together. Great blessings will break out. Now, I want to tell you, corporate praise is something that the Lord has personally dealt with me about, the importance of it, because sometimes in life you get so down that you can't get out by yourself. You need to be in an environment of people that are praising God, and there's a charged atmosphere that happens there. The anointing is strong, and it can snap you out of your depression into a place of faith again. But you got to have it. This happened to me many, many years ago. It's when God had first called me into ministry, and I didn't have a job in ministry, but I was going to a local church that I was saved at, and I was going to three services a week. I was going Sunday morning, and then they had a Sunday night service and also a Wednesday service, and I was going to all those, and I went to the Lord and said, Lord, what do you want me to do to get ready for ministry? And he says, study to show yourself approved, a workman of God. And reminded me, that's in Timothy, by the way. So I just started taking correspondence course. I studied Western Reform. I studied from Assemblies of God. I just started studying all these courses. So I'd study till midnight every night after working all day in construction. I worked very hard. And I was going to church. And it was a Wednesday night, and I was really tired. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I got a question. Do you think I could stop missing Wednesday night and just study at home because I'm getting behind? Ask him the question. How many of you ever ask God a question he doesn't answer? Heaven was silent. I didn't hear a thing. But I learned this enough about the Lord that you don't do anything until he speaks. So I'd asked him, and I was just waiting for him to tell me what to do. So, but until he did anything, I just kept doing what I knew I was to do. So I was at church. The sermon went on. In those days, sermons would last, or services would last 2.5 hours, 3 hours. So the service is over, and I was up front mingling with some of the Christians, and one of the pastors came over to me and says, Jack, I want to introduce you to a brother who has a prophetic ministry. And I said, great, I'd love to meet him. So I introduced myself to him and so forth. And as he was shaking my hand, he says, you know, the Lord just gave me a word for you. And I said, what's the word? He said, the Lord wanted me to tell you that if a sheep leaves the fold, the wolf will kill them. And I said, thank you, Jesus, for answering my question that I asked you in the afternoon before I went to church. So I just automatically went, see, if you know anything about lions and wolves and predators like that, they never attack the herd. They always attack those that are behind. They're not with the herd anymore. They're singled out. Same with sharks. If you ever go to Maui, swim with a bunch of people, you've been in the middle of them and you'll be fine. Because the sharks don't generally attack you when there's a group of people. It's when you're out by yourself trying to be sea hunt or whatever, praise God. How many know somebody in your thinking that no longer has been in church and they're in a bad spot, but they used to be consistent going to church, but now, but for whatever reason they started missing. Maybe they had a project, maybe they're doing an addition to their house, or maybe they bought a new boat and the only time they could take it out on Sunday. And now you hardly see them at all and their life is falling apart. Can you say amen, everybody? Amen. I wanted you to hear this. Corporate praise is very important. It keeps you safe. Praise keeps you safe. Corporate praise puts you in a position where the enemy can't single you out, get you depressed, get you to a place where you feel like giving up. It gets you in a place where it dries out that spirit of heaviness. And even though you may have been down when you came to church, it got you fired back up, praise God, and now you're consistent. Hallelujah. Now, there's some churches in America today, they have what they call online church. No such thing. Doesn't exist. I don't care what they call it, it don't exist. Ecclesia means to be called out to a public assembly. It isn't to be called out to your YouTube channel. Amen. And now we're ministering to like 35,000 people on the airways and so forth, and that's great. But listen, I want you to understand, God wants you to come to a church. He wants you to know somebody. He wants you to have someone next to you, praise God. There's power in corporate praise that will build you up and bless you and do the whole thing you need to do. Can we give God praise one more time? I don't want the wolf getting you. Even Joyce and I, you know, all the years of ministry, because, you know, we've been in church all so much. Even when we're on vacation, I always go to church on Sunday. Always go to church on Sunday. I can count on my hand the times that we've ever missed a Sunday morning. And one time we did, we were in Caicos because they didn't have a church service. And a great place to go, but a lousy place to get spiritual. Amen? But, I mean, we, even on a cruise ship one time, we went to the church service on the cruise ship. It was lame. They should have let me do it, but they didn't do it. But there's power in corporate praise. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not going to take a vacation from God this summer. Amen. All right. Now, I want you to turn, if you would, over to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I'm going to show you a story that will show you a wonderful truth. It'll show you that when the odds are against you, praise can get you out of it. In other words, you're not going to lose out if you're able to praise in the midst of your storm. If you're able to praise in the midst of your financial problem, you're going to come out okay. If you're able to praise in the midst of your sickness, you're going to come out of it. You got to be able to praise to get out of it. Now, the story here is Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is a king of Israel, and he has 180,000 soldiers that are under his disposal. Say 180,000. That's a pretty good little army, isn't it? But the army that's coming against him is 1,600,000 men. So he's outnumbered 6-1. There's no way in the natural that you can defeat a force like that 6-1. That's the situation that Jehoshaphat is in. He's terrified when he hears about this great army that's coming against him. So rather than just letting his fear control him, he turned to the Lord and said, Lord, I know you can help us with this. I know you can deliver us from this. And that's where that grace word came, where the prophet says, the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Say amen. But I want to read to you some of the verses. This is in 2 Chronicles 20, 17. It says this, you will need to fight, or you will not need to fight in the battle. Position yourself. Say it with me, position myself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem, and do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Now look down in verse 21 and 22. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now, I don't know a lot about military stuff, but you don't send out the choir before the guns. But they're putting praise first. That's the part I want you to see. They're putting praise first. And what's so beautiful about the story is the Bible said that when they begin to go out ahead and begin to sing the praises, as soon as the enemy heard it, the Bible says that God sent ambushes in the midst of them. In other words, at that moment, he's disabling what is planned against Israel. He's disabling them. He's bringing confusion to the point they begin to fight within themselves and kill themselves until when the army actually gets there, everyone's dead and all the spoils are there for them for the taking. And then for the next 3 days, they're taking up spoils because praise released the riches of the Gentiles. It released it. Think about that. How many ladies would like to go down to the mall for 3 days? You can get as much as you can pack into your car in 3 days. First day you'd be there, man, you'd be there at 8 a.m. You'd stay until whenever they close, 9 o'clock or whatever, or 10 o'clock, and you'd be packing that thing out, and then you'd come home and say, honey, get that out of the truck. And I want you to borrow your sister's van. Tomorrow you're going to bring 2 cars and we're going to fill. That's what they did for 3 days. And after 3 days, they were wealthy, healthy, and blessed. And it was all because of praise. Say praise. Praise. See, praise is so powerful that it builds up your faith, that where your faith becomes so strong that God can work for you in the miracle. Now listen, even though people, you know, they read that verse, the battle is the Lord's, it's not ours, we don't have to fight it. Some Christians sit back and do nothing. And then their bills are not paid. They sit back and do nothing and their marriage is wrecked. They sit back and do nothing and their lives are devastated. They still had to use their faith, but they used it in their prayer life and their praise life, because their praise life magnified their prayers. It built faith up in their prayer, and they had what I call the spirit of faith. We believe, therefore we speak, or we believe, therefore we sing. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to understand something. Before I came to Jesus, I was a great sinner. I'd get high every weekend. I get high during the week. I was party man, always under the influence of something. Once I got saved, I didn't get out from under the influence. I got under a different influence. Now I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, instead of dancing in the clubs, I'm dancing in the church. Now, instead of getting beside myself because of alcohol, I was beside myself in the spirit. I got to just sit down. God's minister. Come on. There's a praise that happens in a spirit-filled church. There's a praise that is ignited. Woo! And that's what God... See, being a Christian isn't a boring life. It's actually a more exciting life than... Because I never wake up with a hangover. I never wake up regretting what I did. Never. I wake up excited the next day, the anointing's still strong, and I walk into my prayer room and say, Father, thank you so much. All the people that got saved on Sunday. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I just praise him. But some of us, we don't use praise like a weapon. It's a weapon. It's to drive out all the negativity in your life and cause whatever you have faith in the word to become great in your life to overcome it. Now, I'm going to show you a beautiful truth here that you're really going to love. This is in Acts 16, 16 through 40. I'm just going to tell you the story. It's Paul and Silas, apostles. They preached the gospel, cast a demon out of a woman who was making people money. The crowd gets upset because they no longer have profit. And so they arrest Paul and Silas, and it says they beat them with rods. Now, what you need to understand, these rods are wooden sticks, and they're about that long. They're pretty big. And what the Romans would do is they would strip all your clothes off, completely buck naked, and they would chain you to something while you're bent over, and they would hit you with these rods from their head all the way back down to your feet. And the Jews had a limitation, only 40 times. The Romans, there was no limit. The Apostle Paul made this statement. He says that we were beaten above measure, which implies that they got more than 40 lashes being beat with those rods. Then they took Paul and Silas and chained them in the inner jail, which means they weren't just in a cell. They had chains on their feet, chains on their hands. And Paul, it says, and Silas at midnight began to pray and to sing. Now notice what they're doing. They're praying, then they're praising God for the answer. They're praying and thanking God for the answer. They're praying and praising God for the outcome. And all the prisoners heard them. Whew. And then it says there was a great earthquake. Now, you may have missed this in the story. The cell doors opened, all of them opened, but not just the cells. It says the chains that were on all the prisoners fell off. The chains on the feet, chains on the hands, all of them fell off. Remember, signs and wonders always point to something. Amen? And they're not just there. They point to something. And it says that the jailer, who was in charge there of the people, was going to kill himself because of what happened. Paul said, don't injure yourself. We're all here. And this is incredible. If you know anything about Roman law, you realize that Roman law works this way. That if you're in charge of a prison with prisoners in it, if any one of those prisoners escape, the penalty that the prisoner has, you have to take. Many of the prisoners there that day that were in the cell were facing capital offenses. But capital punishment in Rome is different than ours. In Rome, they would torture you first and then kill you. In fact, they would take people and they would wrap them up in bags that you couldn't break out of, and put snake and a dog and a chicken in the bag with the person and then throw it in the river. Can you imagine getting bit by a snake and all these critters? They would torture people. You know about the crucifixion. They crucify, they scourge you before they crucified you. So the soldier was willing to kill himself because it wasn't just he would lose his life, he'd be tortured. So I'm going to die anyway, so I might as well at least eliminate being tortured. Because Paul and Silas, they weren't going to kill them. They were just locked up. But there were prisoners in the jail that obviously had capital offenses, and they were looking forward to being tortured and killed, and not one of them ran out. Can you imagine on death row and all the doors are open, chains fall out, and not one of them leave? It's a sign and a wonder. And here's the sign it points to. The gospel has set free everyone that's chained, everyone that's in a cell, everyone that is caged. But the only way that you can get out is to believe on Christ. If you don't believe on Christ, you'll never get out. If you don't believe on Christ, you'll never get the breakthrough. You got to believe on Christ that can set you free from the chains of addiction, chains from murder, chains from, come on, ask, chains from lust that can break you free. So praise was the tool in which that power gift was released upon Paul and Silas. And afterwards they came out and the guard took them into the home, treated their wounds, and he preached the gospel to them, or they did, and he was saved in his whole household. Hallelujah. How many know that God wants to deliver you? Not only you, your family. Hallelujah! So the praise did more than benefit Paul and Silas. It benefited those in the jail. It benefited those in the jailer's house. Just like right now, this morning, as we praise God, it's benefiting the world around us, the loved ones. We got to praise Him. We got to thank Him for His glory and mercy. I mean, you look at that, it gets you pretty excited to realize the way out of it is praise. I said the way out of it is praise. I want you to stand to your feet right now. I'm going to draw this to a slow conclusion, but I want you to see this. I want you to understand that today's message is a way to activate miracles in your life. Praise builds your faith up to a place where miracles can be released on your behalf. Sometimes the reason why a miracle doesn't come very quick is because our praise level is too weak, and when it's too weak, our faith is too weak, so the manifestation is postponed. But when you get your praise level up, your problem can't stand. You're never going to lose out if you're a praiser. I said you're never going to lose out if you're a praiser. You're never going to lose out if you're a praiser. If you're a praiser, you're not going to lose out. You're not going to lose out. I want to tell you a story. This is a true story. It's about a missionary to China. This is the time they didn't have airplanes flying everybody everywhere, and they would take ships. So this woman, she felt led by the Lord to go to China and minister there. She was there, but this was during the epidemic, the smallpox epidemic. And many of you don't know this, but 300 to 5 million people died because of smallpox. They didn't really find a solution to it until 1977. And so this was the time before then. So anybody get smallpox, they generally got the fever and they died. She gets this, and the Chinese are not, you know, they isolated her immediately. And she was in a room all by herself. And she was beseeching the Lord. She was praying to the Lord. And said, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? And the Lord gave her this vision of a scale. One side of the scale was praise. The other side of the scale was smallpox. And the smallpox side of the scale was heavier than the praise. And the Lord said, as soon as your praise level gets heavy enough that it goes past your smallpox, that's when your miracle's going to happen. And so She started to praise God. And she wasn't even in church. By herself. She began to praise God over and over again all day long. Pray. Now she's got a fever. She's sick. She just kept, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Next day comes by, still sick, still got the fever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And begin to praise God and pray the third day. She's still praising God. And at the end of the third day, she looked down, fever gone. Every spot had left her body. She walked out of the room completely healed. Power of praise. I asked the Lord about this because I said, Lord, you know, should we ask for more than what we're asking for? And he says, the level of your request is going to affect the level of your praise. He said, if your requests are too small, praise level's too small. And then the Lord began to show me verses in the Bible that prove this. He said, you remember in the Old Testament when the prophet got mad at the king because he only shot the arrow in the ground three times, every time represented a victory over his enemies. And God said, the reason why the prophet was angry, because I was angry, because I couldn't completely deliver him until he shot five or six times. And then he reminded me of the story of the leper that Jesus healed. He just didn't heal him and say, go home. He said, go show yourself to the priest. Why? He wanted him completely delivered. He'd been isolated by the priesthood because of his disease. He wanted complete restoration. Sometimes our requests are too small and our praise level is too low. If my praise level is down here and I got a problem that's up here, I need to raise up my praise level. I need to raise it up until it overshadows what I'm going through, that it overshadows the fact that it doesn't look like it's not going to work, that it overshadows the sickness and the disease, that it overshadows the separation and the frustration and the lack of success, that it overshadows it, that it becomes greater than what I'm facing, greater than what I'm experiencing. Man, can you say amen, everybody? Praise God. You got to start praising him. More and 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 more. Above it.
Thanks for listening today. For more messages like this one, check out our podcast, River app, and our website at theriver.church. We're the River, and we're doing life together.